Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. God is good every day. I am so encouraged and blessed to be here. I see Sister Jean. Amen, amen, amen. I am encouraged because I've known her through the years, way before I was ministering the Word of God, way before I met my husband. Hallelujah. Yeah, she's my Aunt Marvelline's best friend, and we go back a long way, and I thank God for blessing her to come and worship with us this morning. Amen, amen. I'm encouraged. Every head bow, please. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, thanking you because you're our Father, we're your very own children, and we have the confidence of knowing that every time we come before you, with the privilege of prayer, that you hear us. Hallelujah. We thank God for the Holy Spirit that filters those prayers so that our prayers are Spirit-led prayers. Hallelujah. According to the divine will and purpose of God. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Father, we're asking right now that you might open up our eyes and our ears that we may behold the mysteries of the gospel of the grace of God. Remember those that are yet here, or those that are on their way. Hallelujah. And those that are in our worldwide web audience. Hallelujah. We're asking, Lord, that you might bless each and every one in your own special way. We ask these prayers that you might be glorified and honored in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. If you can remember when I ministered, those of you that might want to tap in on the website, we were ministering on March the 1st, and this is a continuation of that. We are ministering from the document, Eternally Heavenly Viewing Counteracts All the Gloominess of Earthly Life's Occurrences. Hallelujah. So you can tap in on that document. All earthly occurrences are perceived strictly by their impact on those affected by them. Faithfully, many of God's people link and analyze existence, physicality, but these evaluations are utterly the opposite of spirituality. As things are depicted in styles, forms, and contents, as scenes of happening in every day, they are frequently interpreted as illogical when they are solely judged in their temporary expressions. However, things are consistently stabilized when they are comprehended in their actualized sphere in eternality. Hallelujah. That's where we get into the contrast between vertical viewing and horizontal viewing. Vertical viewing is looking at the eternal divine will and purposes of God. Horizontal viewing is merely sightseeing. Hallelujah. We're looking at the physicality. We're looking at the things that we see. And that's a problem. The larger part of human evaluation eludes vague, unfavorable impressions because they strictly rely on what is physical, which is seen, rather than what are spiritual, which is unseen. Hence, what many of us see and devoutly embrace motivate what we heed materially as response to what is essentially eternal intentions. See, what you see is not the real real. It's not the real real. Subject to change any moment. Hallelujah. So we can't hang our hats and dock our feet on those things that are temporary. Right. We, as saints of God, must view things from the vertical plane, hallelujah, where our salvation is the most important thing in our lives and where our stability as saints lie. In this spiritual emptiness, resolutions that God's people petition him are unrecognizable because earthly evaluations only acquaint in reactionaryism of physical comprehensions. Yeah, so what we see is subject to change any time. Well, I think you thought you got me, didn't you? Where do I usually start? In Ephesians. Hallelujah. And I know Deacon Gavin's already has it. So, why, you may say, Sister Karen, why do you always have to go back to Ephesians? I must go back to Ephesians because there might be somebody out there that doesn't realize that your salvation is hidden in Christ and God in an eternal entity. Hallelujah. That you didn't get saved when you walked down the aisle and gave the preacher your hand. You didn't get saved when you repented and recited the sinner's prayer. You didn't get saved when you got baptized. Hallelujah. You didn't get saved. Hallelujah. When you were filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now all that, you know, that might have been part of your process. But your salvation is much bigger than that. Please read, Deacon. Yes. I'd like both the King James as well as the Greek interlinear.
We're reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning verse 1, the King James version first. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Do you know everything is according to God? It's according to the will of God. Everything. Can you please read it in the Greek?
Now from the interlinear Greek text. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, through will of God to the saints being in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God, Father of us, and Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the having blessed us
hallelujah,
in each and every blessing spiritual. In the heavenlies, in Christ, as he chose us in him before foundation of world, being holy, us holy, and unblemished before him in love, having predestinated us to adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of the will of him.
Now this should establish to you the fact that you were elected in eternity before the foundation of the world to be caused to become a member of the body of Christ. This is eternal entity. This is something that happened before time. Hallelujah. In God's decree. One decree. God is not in heaven making daily decisions. Hallelujah. You know, now it's Easter time. I always talk about Santa Claus, how we think God is in up in heaven making a list and checking it twice. Now we got the Easter bunny involved. God, we got all this stuff all mixed up. That's not how God is. God is not imputing your sins unto you. All of them were hung up on the tree of Calvary. Hallelujah. The lamb slain before the foundation of the world. This is a thing that's been done way before time. And you were counted in. Hallelujah. Yeah, you were counted in. Provisions were made for you in eternity before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Now, since we understand and we got a handle on salvation, that it is an eternal entity before time that you didn't have anything to do with. You have nothing to brag and boast on involving your entire life. It is all about him and not about you. Now we can go to Colossians. Oh, yeah, you thought I was going to skip it. No, 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 no. No, no. You got to understand that your life is completed in Christ and God so that you can have the peace of God which passes all understanding. As things unfold in the matrix or the capsule of time or the measurements of time, it won't catch you unaware and it won't rob you of your peace. Hallelujah. You'll be able to turn the light off when things occur. You'll realize that things come to pass. They come to pass. That's why they come to pass. You'll be able to run to the roar. Hallelujah. You'll live that overcoming Christian life and have the peace of God which passes understanding. And who does not need peace in these turbulent times? Who doesn't need to be able to enter into the rest of our faith and confidence of our completed life in Christ? And Colossians is going to give that to you. Can you read that verse, the second chapter of Colossians, verse 9 and 10? Both, please, in the King James as well as the Greek interlinear. I love them both. Yes. Yes, sir. It's 9 and 10. I like 3 too, but we're going to concentrate on 9 and 10. Chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, Colossians.
Colossians 2, verse 9, King James Version. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 from the interlinear Greek text. Because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are in him, having been filled or completed, who is the head of all rule and authority.
You are in him. Having been filled. Hallelujah. Having been past completed. Your life is completed in Christ in God. God's not making daily decisions. Hallelujah. No need of you fasting, staying up all night, walking, praying, pleading, begging. No need of doing that because your life is completed in Christ in God. You can enter into the rest. You can turn the light off. Realizing that God already got it. You know, we had an incident with one of our children. You know, we got 10 of them. And we was walking and pacing and up and down and turn the light on, turn the light off. And, you know, so finally he said, you just don't care nothing about David. That's our oldest son. I said, of course I care about David. I said, but God doesn't slumber or sleep. He doesn't slumber or sleep. Now, if he's up, ain't no need of all us being up. You turn that light off. It's already done. It's already done. And that's the confidence I want you to have. The confidence in the Word of God. The confidence in what God has said. It's already done. It's already done. Kind of like Mother Goodlow. She said, why should I lay here on this operating table with having this big surgery come? Why should I lay here worried and wondering? Didn't you teach us that it's already done? Why should we worry about something that's already done? Amen, amen. You got to get that because this is going to revolutionize your life. This is going to cause you to walk in peace and to walk boldly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To be able to run to the roar. All of us have something that we're listening. See, getting that sightseeing thing going. We're hearing the roaring lion in the next room down the hall. And we start trembling and shaking, moved by what we can see. And when you have the confidence in the Word of God, that if God be for you, who can be against you? You will triumph over your daily events in life. Hallelujah. Yeah, you'll triumph over those things. Nobody can hold anything over you because you realize that you and God are the majority, and in any situation you're in, you win. Oh, yeah, you'll run to the roar. When you get there, you'll find out it's not a bold lion. It's a pussycat. Yeah, it's a kitten. Yeah, You've been trembling and shaking, wondering how you're going to get over, and you're already over. He's already made you more than a conqueror. And that's the importance of this word. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to get that. Your life is completed in Christ. It's hidden in Christ and God, and it's completed. Wherever you are is according to God's divine will and purpose. Hallelujah. Wherever you are, it's for the testimony of God. Wherever you are is where He's placed you. Hallelujah. For you to triumph in that situation. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Because God has already done it for you. It's passive. The blessings of the Lord are invisible and spiritual. They're in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. And we got to get away from the sightseeing. We got to get away from being moved by what we see and measuring ourselves by what we see. Hallelujah. When God's people solely rely on eternal things for their continuous joy, they formulate into less burdensome earthly disappointments. Incidents appropriated by misconstruing temporary negative illusions in the time orb appear hostile to the surety of the foreordained arrangements. See, what you see does not line up with what's already done and what's to be revealed. Oh, yeah, it doesn't line up. Eternal determinants in every respect stabilize and rectify those reluctant to acknowledge incorrectness of their opposition to soul-defied causative or attributive factors in their present life situations. See, when we're sightseeing, we don't realize that what we see is not the real, and what we see is subject to change. Secularity compelling poses mitigating factors in the manifestation of current events as though they are authorized decisions dispensed by the workings and winds of depraved creation. Yeah, then you start getting involved in it, thinking that you're effectuating the change, that you are the one that is determining something. Well, anytime you think about manifestation, you have to think about temporary.
Yes, absolutely.
You have to think about earthy. You have to think about physicality. You should be thinking about the process, not the purpose. It's the process. It has come to pass. It's temporary. Notice in Ephesians 4:14 the statement that no longer we may be children, being tossed by waves and carried about by every wind of teaching, by the sleight of men, by craftiness with methodical deception. This passage inequivocally assesses refutations of all ill-conceived patronizing of secularity infused into physicality. What are we saying there? Deacon, can you read Ephesians 4:14? And for your study, I want you to start it at 11 through 15. For the sake of time, we're not going to read the whole thing, but I want to emphasize verse 14. But I'm depending on you to get your Bible and to study from 11 to 15. But for the sake of time, we're going to look at this scripture, 4:14, in the King James as well as the Greek interlinear.
Now we're reading from, again, the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 14, first the King James Version. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
Mm-hmm.
Now from the interlinear Greek text, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. In order that no more we may be infants, being blown and being carried round by every wind of teaching,
mm-hmm,
in the sleight of men, in cleverness unto the craftiness of error.
The craftiness of error. It talked about he didn't want you to remain infants. the King James says children, but the Greek refers to infancy. You know, I love children. God has placed a love of children for me, and I studied infant development. I studied early childhood development because those were the arenas that God put me in as an advocate for families. So for years, for over 40 years, I've been dealing with infant care and infant development. And when you think about infancy, there's a stage that we talk about called object permanence. You know, when you have a baby and you are playing peekaboo, and when you put your hands over the baby's eyes, and then you take your hands away, they start laughing gleefully because at that point in their development, they have not, as infants, they haven't developed what we call object permanence. So when you put your hands over the baby's eyes, the baby thinks that you have physically disappeared because the baby can't see you. So when you remove your hands, the baby thinks it's a miracle because you're still there. You came back. When in actuality, you know, you never went anywhere. But the baby, at that point in development, doesn't know the difference. So when you put your hands over their face and they think that you've disappeared because they can't see you, then when you remove your hands, they think you, by magic, you've appeared. When you've been there all the time. Do you know, as we walk by faith, everything is not going to be seen, but it's already there. Are you getting that? Everything is not going to be revealed, but it's already there. All your problems may not disappear, but the solution's already there. We just haven't caught up with it in our consciousness. Yeah, so like infants, he's telling you he doesn't want you to be like an infant with that object permanence thing not developed, where you're just going by what you see, and when things are unveiled, you think it just got there. Do you know God has already solved your problems? Do you know God has already made you a victor? Do you know God has already caused you to triumph? But you're so put into this object permanence thing with this sightseeing that you think that you're not going to be able to make it. You think that you're not going to have a good outcome. And you may not have good outcomes all the time. You may not appear to have triumphed. But we don't know the divine will and purposes of God. We don't know what God has down the road. But we know we can trust him. We can rely on him. We can depend on him. Because he's a good father and he's already caused you to triumph. And you're already succeeding according to his divine will and purpose. Because everything in your life is according to God. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yeah. Yeah. So don't be deceived. Don't be tossed to and fro. Don't be as infants who have not developed object permanency. Because the divine will and purpose of God is already in place. And when was it put in place? In eternity, before the foundation of the world. How about your life? Your life is hidden in Christ in God. Hallelujah. And is completed in Christ. Hallelujah. Physicality manifests strictly what are distinctively illustrated as non-defined powers forming or dissolving things in the forces of self-motivated capacities. What are we saying there? We think, by the majority of Christendom, that we are partnering with God, that we have a part to play, that we can interject something and change the plan and the course of what we're seeing. What we can fast, we can pray and plead, we can join in united prayer. You know, we start getting all fuzzy and, you know, feeling like we're doing something when in actuality, it's already done. You can turn the light off. Yeah, you can turn the light off. You are not co-piloting with God, and you are not effectuating God's plan. God's plan is already completed in Christ. It's past completed. Aorist tense, all the way through the scriptures. You know, we are passive. What does that mean? That means we're along for the ride. The boat might get shaky. Remember the disciples? Remember we used that example a few sermons ago? I gave you four examples of things that were in the scriptures that showed that we didn't have anything to do, that it was already done. And that example of Christ, who had already told the disciples, let's go to the other side. And in the interim, the storm came. And they start sightseeing, looking at the wind and the waves. Now, these were seasoned fishermen, professionals, and this was a storm that blew in that they hadn't seen the likes of, and they became afraid. Now, Jesus was with them, and what was he doing? Sleeping through the storm, sleeping through the wind, sleeping through the turbulent waves, sleeping. Why was he sleeping? Hadn't he already said, let's go to the other side? The disciples in fear said, Master, don't you even care that we perish? And he said, oh my God, ye of little faith. Didn't I already say we're going to the other side? Now they're thinking the boat going to sink. Yeah. What did he do? Did he call for a fast? Did he start singing hymns?
No.
Yeah. Did he say, God, will you please? Could you maybe? No. He said what? Peace. Be still. And I'm saying to you, you tell those circumstances, peace, be still. Amen. Yeah, yeah. You speak to the winds and the waves, realizing that you always triumph in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. He has already made you a conqueror over those events. Now, does the conquering mean that it will be the outcome that you necessarily see and seek? No. But you can trust that it's working out according to God's divine will and purpose. That God is sovereign. He's in complete control. Even when it looks like it's not in control, God's got it. And he's got your back. Hallelujah. 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 Now, am I saying that it's always going to work out according to how you want it to work out? Absolutely not. But I'm saying however it works out, you win. According to God, you win. Hallelujah. That's because we don't know everything. Some things will be a mystery until we see Jesus. Hallelujah. But however it is, we can say it is well with my soul. Hallelujah. We can say it's well, it's good, that God don't make mistakes. He doesn't make errors. We can trust him. Hallelujah. Because of his goodness. Hallelujah. This is viewed in contrast. We're talking about that synergism. This is viewed in contrast to the prior assignment. Say prior assignment. And arrangements in every course, say every course of existence in eternal design according to God's sovereignty.
Yes.
So there are no mistakes in your life. Wherever you are, whatever events are, God is there. God is there. Eternal interests are never altered like the dramatically humanity perceived changes. God's eternal determinations rather than individual human behavior tendencies, misconstrued as willpower, are what solely source manifested occurrences. Doesn't have nothing to do with you. It's all about him. Relevancies of physicality exert psychological identifications with humans' allurements, which merely coordinate designations of the various boundaries enjoined to champion it. This references passionate support of secular causes, fractions, persons, and ideas of physical undertones, embracing only what is naturally seen and prompting feelings of support or approval for them. What are we saying there? We're saying that we like to be involved. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. We like to be involved. We like to feel like we are part of the change. But in actuality, what is already is. Now, am I saying you are not to be a participant? No, no, no. Let's look at voting, for instance. People die. We just celebrated the 50th anniversary of Bloody Sunday in Selma, Alabama, where 100 African Americans died on the Edmund Pettus Bridge in support of voters' rights. Hallelujah. Now, am I saying that we're not to vote because whoever the candidate is going to be is? Yeah, well, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that whoever is, don't lose no sleep over it, but do your civic duty. Yeah, I vote. Yeah, I vote. You know, so I'm saying to you, realizing that whatever the outcome is, like, for instance, we had the Bushes in office in this country. as president. And I stayed out the Bushes three times. I didn't vote for the dad either. But they were president, the dad and the son. And while they were president, I prayed for them. Because the Bible commands us to pray for those that have rule over us and authority. And I prayed for them. So while they were in office, they were God's man. Yeah. Because the Bible says he turns the heart of the king. He puts one up and he takes one down. So however that plays out, that's according to God's divine will and purpose. Did I agree with it? No. But was that what God intended? Yes. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been. Whatever is what God has predetermined. The good, the bad, the indifferent, the ugly, whatever is, it's all according to God. Now, it might not agree with you, but it's what God's will is. Hallelujah. And so we want to give you some peace today. We want you to learn how to roll with the punches, realizing that God is in complete control. It might look like he's on vacation in your life, but he's not on a great journey. He's already got it. Hallelujah. And it is the way he intended. It unfolds the way according to his divine will and purpose. The processes are driven by his divine will and purpose, his eternal will, hallelujah, and workings in your life. Contrary to the more popular consensus in human thinking, no applications of secularity are conducive to an easier life on earth, because such interconnections cannot radiate lasting joy. When the essence of physicality is assessed according to the scriptures, it adds up simply based on humanly perceived experiences of the ages during temporary associations. See, when you look in the word, you realize that this too shall pass. This too shall pass. See, the Bible says we're to praise God for all things. For all things. And when you're looking into the word, you're able to do that. You have the liberty to do that. But when you start sightseeing, looking at those winds and the waves, it'll cause you to be depressed. It'll rob you of your joy and your peace. Such unreliable displays are merely interpret styles and expressions of topics from unscriptural viewpoints. See, that's sightseeing. These employments of partiality are responsive only in exhibiting accounts of non-thorough motives crouched in depraved pessimism. Yeah, we can look and say, woe is me. I'm down here in the dark. I don't know what's going to happen next. Oh my God. Then you become overcome and you lose your joy and you lose your peace. You start concentrating again through that sightseeing on what's going on in your life, realizing that whatever has come to what? To pass. The Bible says joy comes in the morning when the light comes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But as we're going through, we think, oh my God, is it ever going to end? In these views, dwelling in existence is erroneously identified and masterfully altered to a deceptively compared illusion of blissfulness. See, most of what we look at for joy is not joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Check it out in Galatians. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Happiness, on the other hand, is crouched in physicality and temporary. Happiness. I'm happy when I got the new car. Yeah. I'm happy when he asked me to get married. Although I prayed to get him. Sometimes I say, oh, Jesus. Yeah, yeah. But it's been almost 40 years of it. I'm going to keep him. Yeah. But as occurrences happen in your life, it robs you of your joy if you are looking at the wind and the waves. If you are sightseeing. However, if you're walking by faith and not by sight, you realize that the spiritual, the eternal, is the real. You realize that God's way is indeed the best way. And that he's on the scene in every aspect of your life. And he's working it all out for your good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So that pessimism goes away. In these views, dwelling in existence is erroneously identified and masterfully altered to a deceptively compared illusion of blissfulness. Such mis- preceptions of human processes interpret and organize flawed information to their extreme extent, yet they do not radiate the joys of living as has been and so successfully and cleverly disguised. Yeah, yeah. The world, when we could get caught up in the world systems, when we step away from who we are in Christ, then we are subject to act like the world, to be saddened like the world, to feel there's no hope like the world. Do you know our hope is in Christ? And the Bible says those that don't have hope in Christ are men most miserable. That is not us. That is not us. We realize that whatever is temporary in this life. We realize that we set our affections on things that are eternal. Hallelujah. Where Christ is, where we sit with him triumphantly. That whatever comes in the process of time is for God's divine will and testimony according to his divine purpose for our lives. We don't want to be kicking against the prick. I talked to the young men in Sunday school about that today, about Paul, how he was on the road to Damascus. And he was smitten, had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit asked, Jesus said, why do you persecute me? And he said, who are you? Because Paul thought he was on the right road, on the right track, doing the right thing. Do you know you can be wrong and think you're right? Oh, yes. Yeah, you can be wrong, but you think you're right. Yeah. What do you think all those holy wars were fought about? What about what's going on now with the jihad? They claim that's Islam, but that if you look at the Quran, what they're actually doing a lot, that's not Islam. That's not Islam. That's perversion. Yeah, yeah. See, when we get mixed up in it, it becomes perverted. Keep your eyes on the prize of the high calling of who you are in Christ. Hallelujah. And that's where the peace is. So that's how you'll have the joy of living. Hallelujah. Eagerly embracing and resonating forms as the real deal, such as viewed as impressions within intellectual situations. This is where, again, we leave our covenant of grace, the fact that it's all about God, our lives are completed in him, and we get into that bilateralism of other covenants where we are joining with God. If you do this, God says, I'll do that. If you do this, then God will do that. If you humble and pray, then I will heal the land. Well, you know, God's already provided our healing. Now, it may not ever manifest in the natural, but we are already healed. Why? Because you're completed in Christ and God. And whatever is, you win. Hallelujah. However your life is unfolding, it's unfolding to the glory of God, according to the divine will and purpose of God. And you can praise God. Let's praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 This will relieve you of guilt. This will relieve you of depression. This will relieve you of sadness. This will relieve you of thinking God made a mistake, because he hasn't. Hallelujah. Eagerly view your life as completed in Christ and God. And then you can have peace. Then you can have joy. Then you can realize that your living is according to his divine will and purpose. And you can rejoice in that. Hallelujah. Now, some of us think that if we only have the outcome that our neighbor has, that we're successful. Yeah, yeah. Some of us think that, I use one expression about Sister Cuddler. You know, if God did it for Sister Cuddler, he got to do it for me. No, he doesn't. No. I'm not Sister Cuddler. God's purpose and will for Sister Cuddler is different than his purpose and will for me. Yeah, 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 yeah. Let's give the Lord a hand. Let's give the Lord a hand. Yeah, 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 yeah. So, I put down as a notation, and I want to see, we're a teaching church. I want you to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, and it talks about, not today, and for the sake of time, because the clock, pastor always talk about the clock beating you up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it reads, matter of fact, Deacon, read that. Please read it. We got time. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. And the Lord had revealed this to me long time ago. As a young married woman, I did not work outside of my home. I had three small children, and my husband worked many times two jobs to support us. And many times I would look at what other people had, and I'd say, oh, my God, why isn't God doing it for me? Why don't I have what Sister So-and-so has? Why don't I have what this one has? And then the Lord illuminated the scripture to me. Have you got it, Deacon? Can you read it, please? Yes, please.
We're reading now from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 12, firstly from the King James Version. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise.
Amen. Can you read it in the Greek as well, please?
Now, from the interlinear Greek text. Not for, or for not, we dare to class with or to compare ourselves with some of themselves commending. But they among themselves measuring and comparing themselves with themselves, not do understand.
And what don't they understand? They don't understand the divine will and purpose of God. They don't understand the fact that we are all individuals like snowflakes, individuals like each grain of sand on the seashore. They don't understand that they should not be moved by what they see, because what they see is subject to change. We think we have a tendency, particularly here in America, to measure according to material wealth. Material wealth. You know, we say, Sister Nicholson, she got great faith because she got a new car. You know, and then we start saying, well, now, if Sister Nicholson is great faith and highly favored of God and she got a new car and I don't have a new car, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? You see how that goes? That is very shallow. That is very infantile. Remember we talked about that object permanence and that infant development? He was admonishing the Corinthians through that scripture we read earlier not to be tossed to and fro, not to get into sightseeing, not to be as children, but mature in the word. Realize who you are in Christ. Trust God, realizing that his plan for me is different than his plan for Sister Nicholson. Different. They're different plans. And that we can rejoice wherever we are because this is the will of God for us. Hallelujah. And this is a big problem. This is a big problem. You know, particularly when we are trenched in physicality, which is temporary. Temporary. You know, I told the story when I was 35 years old, I thought I needed a fur coat. I just had to have me a fur coat. I had to have one. Because I thought, I'm 35 years old, I need to have me a mink. And guess what? I put it in the layaway. I paid on it. I loved it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And guess what I did a few years later? I put it in the Salvation Army bag. I gave it away because the thrill was gone. Do you know that if your essence of your mind is built on what's here, you're going to be disappointed every time? It's not lasting, and it's not important. What you have in the natural is subject to change, and that's not the real essence of who you are. We have to set our affections on things above, not on earthly things. And that's real difficult because what do we see? We see the preachers in the stadiums. They naming and claiming it. They are talking about what God's got for you. And, you know, they twist the scriptures. That scripture in Corinthians that says eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. That's not talking about natural. And we already read in Ephesians chapter 1 that the blessings are spiritual in the what? Heavenlies. That's our blessings. Our blessings are the unseen, invisible, spiritual, eternal. That's what you're really about. not what's going on down here. Stop measuring yourselves by yourselves, among yourselves, because it's not wise. The true blessings are the invisible spiritual. Speak those things which are above, not the things that are below. Hallelujah. Because your real life is your Christ life, hidden in Christ in God, eternally. Hallelujah. And as you look in the book and you mature, you get knowledge of who you are in Christ, you'll be able to see these things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hardly such senselessness is today's visually designed mainstream regulating humanly inspired patterns. Such are embraced by too many of God's people as their absolute privilege, and hence are employed based on religious systems that insist on immunity from any opposing challenges. If you listen to the radio, it says we're all supposed to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Yeah. Doesn't it say that? If you turn on the TV, they say you're supposed to have a loaf of bread under every arm, two cars in your garage, and you're supposed to be living like kings. Do you know that's not new philosophy? Did you know that Paul encountered that as well? If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 4, matter of fact, we got the time. I'm going to go over a little bit more than what I normally do. But please turn to 1. You all need this. Because some of you are bound and enslaved to what you can see, thinking there's something wrong with you. Yeah, but it's not. Whatever is occurring in your life, whatever events are unfolding, are what's supposed to unfold. Hallelujah. Whatever is coming, keep in mind it's coming to pass. Hold on to the boat. Realize that God has already told you we're going to the other side. Trust that. Have you got it, Deacon? Can you read that, please? Chapter 4, look at verse 6 and 7. I think I have it here because I wasn't going to go over it because of time. But can you read that, please? Start at verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, start at verse, do 7 and 8, please. No, don't do 6, just do 7 and 8.
We're reading from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. King James Version. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Now ye are full. Now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you.
Do number 9, please.
For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men.
And now do 10.
We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised.
And if you continue to read, he goes on. Paul says, we are naked, we're hungry, and we have no dwelling place. And this was written by the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. He says, we are naked, we are hungry, and we have nowhere to live. But that don't look like the preachers of Detroit. Amen. That don't look like the preachers of Los Angeles. Oh, yeah. They're in mighty mansions. They're driving fine cars. Got a fleet of them. How many cars can you drive at one time? One. Why they gotta have 10? Why they gotta have 20? Yeah. They're wearing the fine clothes. Oh, yeah. I know I'm stepping on somebody's toes, but so what? Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling the truth. The apostles, the ministers, and ministers mean servant. We got it all mixed up. We got it twisted. We have the sheep providing for the shepherd instead of the shepherds looking out for the sheep. Yeah. And then we look at that and think that's the real. That's the counterfeit. Paul was the real. And he said, we're naked. We're hungry. We don't have no said, you're reigning like kings. So now you do the measurement. When you see them reigning as kings, are they really what the scriptures say they're supposed to be? And you're deceived thinking that's the real. And you're lusting of the flesh after those things which are temporary. Set your affection on things above where Christ sits. Not on the earth below, because you are dead. Flesh, physicality, dead. And your real life is your hidden life in Christ and God. Hallelujah. Comfort yourself with the knowledge of who you are in Christ and what was done for you through salvation. Saints, walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Saints, view life from the vertical plane, from our sonship position in Christ and what God has done for us through his eternal plan of salvation. And it will bring peace to your daily living. Walk by faith and not by sight. Amen.
Give him a praise. Hallelujah.